Okay. So today is a very special day on the Vaishnava calendar. It's the appearance day of Gopal Bhatta Goswami and the disappearance day of Sri Ramchandra Kaviraj. We're going to be speaking about those two personalities instead of reading Bhagavatam today. So first we're going to start with Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So, Om Gana Timiranda Shah Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So, of course, Gopal Bhatta Goswami was from a South India family in a Sri Rangam. Have any of you been to Sri Rangam? No. Sri Rangam is established by Sripad Yamunacharya, and later, of course, Ramanujacharya established this as his base. It's the headquarters for the Sri Sampradaya, the Lakshmi Sampradaya. And within the Sri Rangam temple, it's a very beautiful temple, there's different walls around the temple. And each section, the housing in between the walls, is a section of housing for different varnas. So then you have the Brahmins in the middle, and then you're going out, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, and then Antyajas, which means the outcasts, so whatever. And so Lord Chaitanya, of course, went there and spent the 4 months of the rainy season in the house of someone named Venkata Bhatta. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, he was feeling so much separation from Lord Jagannath that he personally carved deities of Lord Jagannath with his own hands. Very beautiful deities. These deities are now being worshipped on the opposite side of the street from Venkata Bhatta's old house in Sri Rangam. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there during the rainy season, and during the rainy season generally the sannyasis didn't go to many places. They had to execute special austerities. It's called the Chaturmash period. And the reason for the austerities was because if the sannyasi stayed in one place, then there would be a tendency to become attached. That's why you have the six Goswamis of Vrindavan not residing under a different tree, basically, from night to night. Because if one stays in a place, one thinks it's mine, it becomes attached to the place, and that's it for sannyas life. So sannyas has to be completely detached from everything. So anyway, when Lord Chaitanya stayed there, I mentioned that he took prasadam in the house of Venkata Bhatta and stayed in the house of Venkata Bhatta, and he had a very joking relationship with Venkata Bhatta. That means that they would joke about philosophy, not about mundane things. Venkata Bhatta, being a follower of the Sri Sampradaya, was very much absorbed in the mood of the worship of Lakshmi Narayan, the mood of worshipping the Lord in opulence. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was absorbed in the mood of worshipping Krishna in Vrindavan, which is the mood of intimacy. So there's a difference between opulence and intimacy, obviously. Where there's opulence, there's no intimacy. So they were arguing about this, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one time asked Venkata Bhatta an interesting point. He said, you're Lakshmi, is absorbed in a meditation and performing austerities for thousands of years in order to get the association of Krishna. So how is this that you are calling her a chaste lady when she's supposed to be absorbed in Narayan? And she's worshiping to have the association with another man. Thank you. So at that point, Venkata Bhatta knew the answer. He said, well, Krishna and Vishnu, Narayan, they're all the same person, just different pastime forms. And Lord Chaitanya said, I accept that. However, I have another question. Even though she was able to perform all these austerities, why wasn't she able to attain the association of Krishna? And then Venkata Bhatta said, that's beyond my intelligence to understand. And Lord Chaitanya said, the reason for that is that she was too attached to her position as Lakshmi, you know, all the opulence and everything like that. So if one wants to enter into Vrindavan, one has to enter into Vrindavan in a very humble mood, not have a lot of opulence. Like you see the six Goswamis in Vrindavan, they were generally absorbed in the very humble mood. They were Kopina Kantashrato. They were just, basically all their clothes were just like a short dhoti. Kopina, of course, that's the Brahmin underwear, and a short dhoti and a little wrap, and even that wrap, that the chadar, what we call chadar nowadays, had holes in it. You know, you can imagine. So that's how one enters into Vrindavan, by actually giving up their opulent life. So, Venkatabhata gradually understood this, and he became converted to the Gaudiya understanding. That is the understanding of worshipping Krishna, how Krishna is the topmost, Ete Changsa Kalakpumsa, Krishna's two, Bhagavan Swayam, all the incarnations come from Krishna. So, at the same time, when Lord Chaitanya was joking with Venkatabhata, Venkatabhata had a very small son. His name was Gopal Bhatta. And the son was 7 years old. And the son was listening to these discussions. And also, in addition, his brother, Prabhananda Saraswati, who was a sannyasi at that time, was also listening to the discussions. And Prabhananda Saraswati became converted to Gaudiya Vaishnavas at that time. And later on, he went to Vrindavan. But that's later on in the story. So as far as Gopal Bhatta, he was listening to all these discussions, became enlivened to hear the discussions. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extremely affectionate to him. It's described that he allowed him to touch his feet, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked him up, embraced him, played with him. You can imagine being played with by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya gave him his remnants. And he was serving Lord Chaitanya continually for this 4 months of the rainy season. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got ready to leave Sri Rangam, Gopal Bhatta started crying. And he had a dream at that particular juncture. And he was able to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, and that was in Navadvipa. In the dream, he actually participated in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the dream revealed himself as Shamasundara to Gopal Bhatta. So in that dream also, he was instructed to go to Vrindavan and to serve Srila Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. So, but externally, before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, he instructed Gopal Bhatta to remain with his mother and father and serve his mother and father until they passed away. So that was a very important instruction. And actually you see that in certain cases, like Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, they were instructed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to serve their parents who were up pure devotees. Whereas in the case of Raghunath Das Goswami, you had the opposite instruction. Because Raghunath Das Goswami's parents, Hiranya and Govardhan, were actually Vaishnavas, but they were Kanishtha Adhikaris. And Lord Chaitanya describes them, unfortunately, as worms in stool. The reason he uses that description is that if you take a worm out of the stool, in other words, you give someone Krishna conscious philosophy, this is a metaphor here, and they jump back into the ditch of material enjoyment, that is actually not very good. So if you take a worm out of stool, he will jump back into the ditch, the stool ditch. So therefore, that reflects on us, that if we have some information about Krishna consciousness, if we keep trying to enjoy this material world, of course, that's one of the offenses on chanting the holy name, to maintain material attachments even after hearing so many instructions in the matter. So if we keep trying to enjoy this material world in spite of that, then it's like Kanishtha Adhikari. Madhyama Adhikari is trying to extract himself from the material world and be attached to Krishna. And Uttama Adhikari, of course, we don't need to describe that. He's completely attached to Krishna. So anyway, so Gopal Bhatta Goswami, He served his mother and father, and then they passed away. And while he was serving his mother and father, he also was taking instruction from Prabhupada Saraswati. That's not the same as Prakashananda Saraswati. Prakashananda Saraswati was the Mayavadi who Lord Chaitanya had the discussion with in Benares. Whereas Prabhupada Saraswati, he was the brother of Venkata Bhatta and the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And so he actually gave instructions and trained up Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And finally, when Gopal Bhatta Goswami's parents passed away, as they were passing away, they ordered him to go serve Lord Chaitanya in Vrindavan. So he went to Vrindavan after his parents passed away. And then he began to serve Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, who accepted him like their younger brother. So, and Rupa Goswami even had a dream when Gopal Bhatta Goswami arrived. And in that dream, Rupa Goswami was told that Gopal Bhatta Goswami should become the pujari before Govindaji. And so, therefore, that was the first deity that Gopal Bhatta Goswami was worshipping. Of course, later on, we find him worshipping Radharaman. But initially, he was worshipping the deity of Govindaji. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the news that Gopal Bhatta Goswami had arrived in Vrindavan, he sent some of his remnants. He actually sent back a Kopina for Gopal Bhatta Goswami. That's, that indicates when someone takes sannyas, they actually change their undergarments and their old garments, and they get rid of all their other clothes. That's part of the sannyas ceremony. You just like, it's not that if you burn your other clothes, you can give them away. We don't want to waste clothes. So you get a new Brahmin thread, of course you get the danda, you get kopina, and these are the things given by the sannyas guru at the time of sannyas initiation. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also sent a cushion that he had been sitting on, not for Gopal Bhatta Goswami to sit on, but for Gopal Bhatta Goswami to worship. Just like if you had a Vyasa-san that Srila Prabhupada sat on, that Vyasa-san would be worshipable. Now, when I was when I first met Srila Prabhupada, this was in Gainesville, Florida, 1971, then he sat on the Vyasa-san and his footprints glowed from the Vyasa-san. So I don't know where that Vyasa-san is today, but that should have been kept in worship. Anything that the pure devotee uses should be worshipped. Of course, certain items can be worn, like portions, upper garments can be worn, but never socks of the purity, never the sitting place or things like that. So anyway, so he was instructed by Lord Chaitanya to worship Radha and Krishna. So there's the famous story that when Gopal Bhatta Goswami decided to start his worship, he thought, I have to get some Shalagram Shilas. So he went to the Gandaki River where the Shalagram Shilas are, and he got 12 Shilas, and he returned to Vrindavan thinking himself unqualified. It's actually interesting. Nowadays, people, devotees, they get shilas without permission of their spiritual master, or without, you know, without consulting with the other Vaishnavas. They just like go on eBay and they order Shalagram shilas or Govardhan shilas or something like that. I mean, Prabhupada really wanted us to concentrate on the temple deities more than anything else. So anyway, so he felt himself unqualified in spite of being a pure devotee of the Lord. So he went back to the Gandaki River, and he put the shilas back in the water. And every time he put the shilas back in the water, and this happened several times, they jumped back into his hands. I mean, this is quite remarkable. Therefore, you understand that Krishna wants you to worship him in that particular form. So at that point, he kept the shilas, and he kept them in a pouch around his neck. So that is the traditional way that people would worship Shiva, is that they would keep them in a pouch around their neck. Of course, now we can keep them on an altar. So, but he always wanted to worship the form. Oh, actually, another thing that happened before I get to the appearance of Radharaman, he, on his way back one time, when he was going to Haridwar too, that he ran into a storm. And during that storm, he had to take shelter in someone's house. And the house that he took shelter in was a poor Brahmin who had no son. And so the Brahmana, he really asked Gopalbhatta, Goswami, please bless me, Swamiji, to have a son. And therefore, Gopalbhatta Goswami blessed him to have a son. And then the Brahmana said, the first son that's born, I'll give to you. So Gopalbhatta Goswami forgot that. You know, he just went on his way, you know, all right. People make so many promises like that. So anyways, getting back to Vrindavan. So he wanted to worship a form of the Lord. And so he was thinking, all these other Goswamis, they have their own deities. And I have Shilas, which is wonderful. But I want to dress deities every day. I want to have that particular type of personal interaction. So to, as they say, rub salt into the wound, or to encourage him even more, a rich man gave him cloth for his deities one day. And he was thinking, looking at this cloth and the crowns and everything like that, and he was thinking, what am I going to do? You know, I don't have deities. So the next morning, he woke up after resting, and one of the Shilas, the Damodar Shila, became the deity of Radharaman. Of course, there was no Radharani deity. But to this day, you can go to this temple and see the deity of Radharaman, and they keep a pile of clothes where Radharani, right in a small pile, right next to where Radharani is. Radharani is there, it's just you can't see her. And it's a very, very beautiful, self-manifested deity of Krishna. So later on, he was worshipping the deity of Radharaman, and all of a sudden, he saw a small boy. And he said, why are you here? And the boy said, I want to serve you. I want to serve Radha and Krishna. And he said, who are you? Go back home. And that small boy, his name was Gopinath. Later on, he became initiated as Gopinath Pujari. And he was the son of that Brahmin who had promised Gopalbhatta to give him his first son. Nice story, isn't it? So he became the Pujari of Radharaman. And of course, Gopalbhatta Goswami established the worship of Radharaman on the highest standard. Prabhupada said if we really want to learn about the highest, you know, ultimate standard of deity worship, you can go to the Radharaman temple and see what they do. And many devotees have done that too. A very, very elaborate, intricate standard. It may not be possible for us to follow all the details, but that's one of the few temples in Vrindavan where they actually continue to follow the details. Most of the other temples, I hate to say, but they neglected the details, and actually even neglected cleanliness and other things. That some of my godbrothers have told me stories how they went to some of the deities and then touched the deities and then some dust came off in their hands. You understand? Prabhupada was critical even when he rubbed the dashboard of a car that he was in and dust came off in his hand. So, in other words, the deities have been neglected to a large extent because the Goswami families sold the properties of the deities that were bringing in income. Like, practically speaking, all of Loy Bazaar in Vrindavan belonged to temples like the Radha Damodar Temple. And later on it was sold to different storekeepers and different things like that. So, therefore, the deity worship has declined tremendously in Braj. I mean, in certain places you'll find it going quite nicely where you have a dedicated person, like there's one temple in Govardhan that is run by, actually a devotee named Giriraj. And his father did 1,000 parikramas of Govardhan to get him as a son. That's the Uddhava temple, Uddhava Bihari. And he's just like an amazing person. He's there, I mean, even though he's an old man, he's there from like 5 o'clock in the morning until 8 o'clock at night every day. Rain, shine, heat, cold. So that, you know, this is a great pure devotee. So Gopalbhatta Goswami also gave initiation to Gopinath Pujari's younger brother. So he got both the kids of this Brahmin. That's nice. In that way, these children were able to save their parents, because children are called, or boys are called putras. That means those who save their parents from hell. Oops. And then, what happened here? Anyway, just a little message. And then, let's see, what happened? Oh, yeah, one time, just several more stories about it. One time, Radharaman revealed himself as Lord Chaitanya to Gopalbhatta Goswami. Gopalbhatta Goswami was looking at the deity, and all of a sudden, he saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instead of Radharaman. Pretty interesting. So Srinivasacharya was initiated by Gopalbhatta Goswami. Srinivasacharya, of course, was second generation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, friends of Shyamananda Narottamadas Thakur, the three personalities who carried forth the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srinivasacharya also took instruction from Srila Jiva Goswami in preaching Krishna consciousness. Srinivasacharya, later on, practically speaking, turned Bengal into a Krishna conscious state by initiating this king, Virhamvir, who previously was a dacoit, but that's another story. So Gopalbhatta Goswami was the first one who wrote or compiled the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Later on, Sanatan Goswami further edited it and put it together. And actually, Srila Prabhupada commented that the details in the Hari Bhakti Vilas are mainly, many of them are influenced by smarta conceptions, not because these devotees were smartas or they were influenced by smarta conceptions, but the Hari Vilas, Bhakti Vilas, was compiled to a certain extent to attract the brahmanas, the ritualistic brahmanas, to Krishna consciousness. In other words, you'll have certain injunctions that brahmanas generally follow, like don't eat carrots in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. And then you see Prabhupada and other acharyas, of course, eating carrots and also showing us how to prepare food utilizing carrots. Like Prabhupada had, you know, carrot halva on Ekadashi. Isn't it a perfect? Prabhupada personally showed the devotees how to use it. So then you just question, you know, what it says in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, don't do it, and Prabhupada did it, and other devotees do it. Well, the point is the Hari Bhakti Vilas, to a certain extent, was a preaching book. In other words, we wanted the brahmanas to respect Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And in order to respect Gaudiya Vaishnavism, you have to institute certain things that they consider essential. For example, when Prabhupada arranged for the installation in the Krishna Balaram Mandir, he called for all these ritualistic brahmanas to do their puja. And Prabhupada said, as an aside to the devotees, it was actually the Harinam Kirtan that did the installation. It wasn't all the rituals there. But had we not done that, people in Vrindavan would not have respected our movement. They were already talking about, you know, how is the Malecha Mandir. Of course, nowadays they don't talk about that anymore. They're happy we brought so much money into Vrindavan. So, anyway, things have changed. They're in ecstasy, we're in Vrindavan. Especially all the Gundas became very wealthy landholders. So Gopalbhatta Goswami first started the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Also, it was his conception of the Sandarbhas, the Shatsandarbhas, which Jiva Goswami later on elaborated on. And these six Sandarbhas are considered to be the most erudite exposition of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta ever. Shatsandarbhas. And devotees, of course, there's one at Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, translated and commented on the first one. And then there's five more to go. Anyway, so he also wrote, Gopalbhatta Goswami also wrote a commentary on the Krishna Karnamrita, and he wrote another book called the Sat Kriya Deepika, which elaborates on different samskaras for grahasthas. Like there's different, samskara means reformatory, probably sometimes translated as a reformatory ceremony. Samskara also means impression. Like sometimes we say, he has many good samskaras. That means many good impressions. So it's different ceremonies. in which you dedicate your life or different aspects of your life to Krishna, like the Vivaha Yajna, the marriage ceremony, or the Govardhan Sanskara, all these different things. In every culture, there's certain samskaras, but in the Mletchik culture, there are samskaras are actually lacking in spiritual insight. Like in South America, one of their samskaras, so-called samskaras, is Sweet 16. You ever hear that before? No. It's a nonsense thing. But nonsense, you know, the girl gets out and dances, and, you know, anyway, it's for girls. And it's just crazy. And, of course, here in America, we have birthday parties, which, isn't it? And we have wedding anniversaries as our Mletcha samskaras, which actually create an impression in the heart of contamination. So, apart from that, he also composed the Samskara Dipika, means the light of the samskaras, which is for sannyasis and the names of sannyasis. So, sannyasis, samskaras. And so, in his ontological position, he is sometimes understood to be a Nanga Manjari or Guna Manjari. Manjari means like a small girl who serves Radha and Krishna in their pastimes. So he appeared in the year 1503 and disappeared from this world in 1578. So that's Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So next we'll speak about Ramchandra Kaviraj. So Ramchandra Kaviraj is a very important... Kaviraj, he was a doctor, that's why he's called Kaviraj. Of course, the word Kavi also means poet. So Kaviraj can sometimes mean the king of all poets. But you'll see generally... If you go to see a doctor, you know, I want to see the Kaviraj in India. So he was, of course, a very close associate with Narottama Das Thakur, initiated by Srinivasacharya. He was so close with Narottama Das Thakur that he would not even go to visit his wife because he didn't want to leave the association of Narottama Das Thakur. There's a famous story about that, that once he was with Narottama Das Thakur, Narottama Das Thakur sort of chastised him and told him, you've got to go visit your wife, you're a householder. And so this Ramchandra Kaviraj, he was able to walk a few steps, maybe 100 feet or something away from where Narottama Das Thakur was, and he couldn't go any further. And Narottama Das Thakur looked, and he saw that he wasn't following his instructions, so Ramchandra Kaviraj, when he saw Narottama Das Thakur looking at him, began to hit himself with a broom. And Narottama Das Thakur ran out and said, you know, you're hurting me by this. And so this is how inseparable he was with Narottama Das Thakur, although he was initiated by Srinivasacharya. So, of course, he was... A little history about him. He... took birth in a Vaishnava family. His father was actually a great devotee of Radha and Krishna. But his father happened to pass away when he was young, when Ramchandra Kaviraj was young, and then he became influenced by Shaktas. Shaktas means people worship the energy rather than the energetic. You know, Krishna is the energetic. And the energy is like Maya, you know, Yoga Maya and Mahamaya and all the other various energies, Prasya Shakti, Vividaya Shuyate, Svabhavaki Yana Balakriya Cha. And of course, there's left handed Shakta worship, which has been portrayed in some famous movies like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom and other movies like that, which probably none of you have seen because you're too young for that movie. So, he became influenced, and then he really didn't initially take up devotional service after he was influenced by the Shaktas. So then it was arranged for him to get married. So he got married, and he was coming back with the marriage party. Now, in India, when you get married, it's a whole elaborate thing. It's like 3 days at least. And marriage party means that they accompany you to the bride's home, and then to your home, and you got a whole party with you. So when he was coming back, he happened to see Srinivasacharya, who would become his guru. And when he saw Srinivasacharya, he immediately recognized him and left the marriage party. You know, here was his newly married wife, you know, sweet young thing or whatever. And he left the marriage party and just began to associate with Srinivasacharya. And he offered obeisances to Srinivasacharya. And Srinivasacharya offered obeisances to him and said, "You and I have been friends life after life." You know, first time they saw each other. This is like a definite deja vu experience. First time they saw each other, they offered obeisances to each other and embraced each other and said, "You know, I've known you life after life." And so he stayed for a long time. This is right after the marriage with Srinivasacharya. Later on, he decided to go visit his village. But by that time, he had assumed the markings of a Vaishnava, which means, you know, the tilak, neck beads, everything like that, and sika. These are all markings of a Vaishnava, very, very important markings, of course. Lord Chaitanya would refuse to see someone who didn't have tilak on. He said, "Your face looks like a slaughterhouse, a crematorium," he said. Actually, crematorium. That's a pretty heavy statement, isn't it? Hopefully, I have tilak, yeah. So, you look like a crematorium. Oh, my God. I mean, what a heavy state. In other words, a dead body. And a dead body without the markings of a Vaishnava is like a crematorium, right? That's the logic behind Lord Chaitanya's statement. So, anyway, so we went home, and all the Shaktas there, his old buddies, they basically got really upset with him. And he said, "What? Why aren't you worshiping Shiva? Why are you giving up his worship?" And he said, "Well, Shiva and Brahma are guna avatars, they're qualitative incarnations of the Lord. But Krishna is avatari. That means he's the source of all the avatars. So you should worship Krishna. And the people who worship Shiva and Brahma are people like you, like Ravana, Kumbhakarna." So in this way, he was insulting all the Shaktas. You know, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Hiranyakashipu. So these are your associates. So anyway, so he really just wiped out their philosophy. Then he became eager to go to Vrindavan, and on the way to Vrindavan, he stopped in Bengal again and saw different great personalities like Raghunandana Thakur. And then he, on the way to Vrindavan, he visited Gaya, Kashi, Prayag, and many other holy places. And then he bathed in the Jamuna and took darshan of the Adikeshava deity. That's what you're supposed to do when you enter Vrindavan. Then he paid obeisances to Srila Jiva Goswami and... let's see. He visited the principal deities there, and then the Vaishnavas became very impressed by his composition of the various poems glorifying Sri Krishna. So after visiting all these holy places, then he went back to Bengal, and he took darshan of Ishan Thakur, who was the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Vishnu Priya, and he got the blessings of Narottama Das Thakur, began to associate with Narottama Das Thakur, and began to preach Krishna consciousness. He had several disciples, but his most famous disciple was Hari Nama Acharya. So Ramchandra Kaviraj composed many, many beautiful verses in glorification of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there's one particular song by Ramchandra Kaviraj I wanted to read before class ends in about 3 minutes. And in this song, he expresses his Vaishnava humility and his lamentation. He was not able to touch or taste even a drop of the Lord's mercy. So I'm just going to read it in Bengali, and then we'll read the translation. Dekadeka harabai goranga chanda parakash purnimar chanda yena udita akash Asim harasi purnamashi gora avatar Chara yuger bara dharane nishtar. Mahitale acharye yatake gajibata. Harala sakala pohun nijahari pratap. Kali yuge tapajapa nahi kona tantra. Prakashila mahapratu. Hare Krishna mantra. Primera vadara kari barila. Samsara pataki naraki. Sabapaila nishtara. Anda vidhi yata kare parakash binduna padila buke ramachandra das. So the translation is, just see, brothers, how Lord Chaitanya has risen like the golden moon. Just as the full moon has arisen in the sky, another fuller moon arose in the form of the Gaura avatar, just to deliver us all from this dark age of ignorance. His mercy takes away all the sufferings of the jiva souls. Japa, mantras, austerities, and other rituals are all useless for purification in the age of Kali. Of course, Hare Krishna japa is useful, and mantra. The only means of deliverance is the Hare Krishna mantra. Mahaprabhu is so kind that he has manifest the nectar of the holy name, so that the souls in this dark age can be released from the cycle of repeated birth and death, and a hellish life in the lower planetary systems, and experience divine love. Whether one is blind or dumb does not matter. Everyone can drown in this inundation. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has drowned everyone in love of Godhead, but Ramchandra Das, Ramchandra Kaviraj, is so unfortunate that he could not taste even a drop of that nectar. So this is the commemoration of the disappearance day of Ramchandra Kaviraj and the appearance day of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So any questions? We have about 10 seconds left for class. Yes?
One thing additional. Narottam Das Thakur was equally attached to Ramchandra Kaviraj.
Yes.
He left his body. Narottam is described as a at the disappearance of Ramachandra Kaviraj.
Yeah, there.
He told his disciples to make a funeral pyre, and he was going to give up his body. He climbed up on top of the funeral pyre, and finally his disciples came, and all these smarter Brahmas were criticizing him. And so his disciples came up to him and said that, we don't mind them criticizing us,